Good morning, Northeast Christian Church. I am in a good mood this morning. My positive emotions are redlining on the tachometer of my spirit right now because I get to preach. That's always a good thing. Get to preach at Northeast, that's even better. I'm in the great state of Kentucky. I'm in the wonderful city of Louisville. I get to spend a little time with my daughter, Lindsay, who's more important to me than life itself. My grandkids, Palmer and Larkin. I'm here with my wife, Val, and best of all this with no Tyler McKenzie. I mean, he is at a beach camp right now with over 100 of your high schoolers. In fact, he texted me when I was backstage and said, if the congregation is wondering about what I accomplished this weekend, here is an abbreviated list. He said, I've preached 2 sermons, I've inhaled 6 scoops of ice cream, and my team won the afternoon relay race by a lot. So those are his accomplishments so far. And just so you don't get the wrong idea, if I give you my true opinion of Tyler McKenzie, I think Tyler McKenzie is a great preacher. You have a great preacher here at the Northeast Christian Church, and I'm proud to call him my son-in-law. Now, speaking of positive emotions, the New York Times reported on a survey that was conducted by researchers at the University of California at Berkeley to determine the healthiest emotion that a person can experience. The healthiest emotion that a person can experience. And what do you think it was? Of course, we all know that negative emotions can be unhealthy and positive emotions can be good for you. But which human feeling or emotion do you think was determined to be the healthiest of all? Happiness, joy, gratitude, love, are those even emotions? I'll spare you the details and the controversies about how many actual categories and nuances of human emotion exist, and I'll just give you their findings. They determined that the most beneficial feeling a human being can experience is the feeling of awe. That means that this big little 3-letter word might be one of the most healthy words in the English language. In fact, instead of using the word awe, I think I'll use the word wow. Because the book of Revelation begins and ends with wow. I mean, can I show you? Check out the first chapter, verse 13, chapter 1. In the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet, girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white, like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze when it's been made to glow in the furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters, and in his right hand he held 7 stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp 2-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in all its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his face like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades. Wow. And you go from that first chapter all the way to the last chapter in chapter 22. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming down from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there will no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. And his bondservants will serve him. And they will see his face. And his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night. And they will not have need of a light or a lamp or the light of the sun. Because the Lord God will illumine them. And they will reign forever and ever. Wow. Now, would you agree with me as we begin that in our culture, especially in our culture, we tend to lose the wow factor pretty quickly, don't we? Have you noticed that? I got excited when I was a kid when I got to play this Atari game called Pong. Is there anybody else in this room old enough to remember the game Pong? It consisted of a screen with 2 lines on each side that represented paddles, and there was a dot that moved back and forth across the screen, and you had to intercept the dot with the lines or the paddles, and I thought that was the coolest thing that I'd ever seen. Then came Nintendo, and then Nintendo 64, and then Super Nintendo, and then Wii, and Xbox 360, and Xbox Live, and PlayStation, and PlayStation 2, and PS3. And the new games are released at $69 a pop, and you beat the games in 2 weeks, sell them back to the same store for $5, buy the next one for $69, and it's so cool for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then it's old news, no more wow factor. My cousin Kevin was raised as a member of a huge Christian church in Illinois. It was a mega church before there were very many mega churches, and they had a great budget and the latest technology and access to cutting-edge youth ministry. And these kids had every experience that could be provided. But in God's sense of humor, later my cousin ended up in youth ministry in the mountains of Grundy, Virginia, working with poverty-stricken children, orphans, troubled kids in rural coal country, far away from where he grew up. And one of the things he said amazed him the most was how little it took to engage and enthrall those children compared to the environment in which he grew up. They hadn't lost their wow factor. My wife's here with me. She and I have had the privilege of visiting some beautiful places on this planet. And with every new sight, we exclaim, oh my. You know, waves crashing against the rocks, coral reefs, beautiful bodies of water, mountain landscapes, fishing villages materializing in the fog, beauty as far as the eye can see, waterfront, the glory seems endless. But the people who live in those places walk around going about their business as if the scenery is nothing, because they've seen it all before and they see it every day, and we often talk among ourselves and wonder if perhaps they have somehow forgotten the wow factor. Now, you can relate to this, right? Because in 2018, we are more sophisticated, and nothing impresses us anymore. We've seen it all, been there, done that. We've been immunized against awe and inoculated against wonder and desensitized to excitement and anesthetized to marvel, and we have experiential calluses on our minds and our hearts because the new thresholds are higher. We've either heard of it or tried it or viewed it on YouTube or watched it on the Discovery Channel, or we've circumnavigated the globe ourselves to witness it firsthand, and nothing takes our breath away or fills us with wonder anymore because we have inhaled the drug of the amazing and the incredible so deeply that we're no longer stirred or moved by things that would have utterly astonished previous generations. And so our bling gets blingier, and the raunch gets raunchier, and the gore gets gorier, and the smut gets smuttier, and our technology gets techier, and it takes more to make us cry, and it takes more to make us sigh, and it takes more to get us high. It even takes more to make us laugh, because we are satiated and saturated and intoxicated on more and more. A friend of mine observed the other day, rightly observed, that we even keep needing new words because the word awesome no longer means anything. And in a sense, that's not surprising. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisest man that ever lived said, a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever, and also the sun rises and the sun sets. And hastening to its place, it rises there again, blowing toward the south, then turning toward the north. The wind continues swirling along, and on its circular courses the wind returns, and all the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full, to the place where the rivers flow, and there they flow again. And all things are wearisome, and man's not able to tell it, and the eye's not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing, and that which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done, so there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see this, it is new? Already, it has existed for ages which were before us. And such is our life on this earth. The sun rises and sets, no big deal. The wind blows and swirls, no big deal. The earth endures, no big deal. The water cycle continues, no big deal. Well, yes, it is a big deal. We've just become so accustomed to it. And I think that several things contribute to this loss of the wow factor. Experience, we've seen and done so much, we think we've seen it all. Schedule overload. Explanations, we've heard and learned so much, we think we know it all, information overload. And emotions, we've felt and sensed so much, we're tired of it all, sensory overload. One of my favorite writers is a woman named Jill Caratini. She writes for Ravi Zacharias Ministries, and she wrote of this phenomenon This is what she said. She said, ballet lost some of its wonder when it was explained. It was a class that was supposed to lift my mind and lighten my spirit and boost my GPA. Instead, it became a one-credit nightmare, a class dedicated to dissecting moves I could not duplicate within a semester that seemed to slowly dismember my fascination with dance. She continued, explanations sometimes have a way of leaving us with a sense of loss, and students note this phenomenon regularly. Expounded principles of light refraction and water particles seem to explain away the rainbow's mystique. And air pressure and gravity and the laws of physics deconstruct the optical mystery of the curveball. Knowledge and experience can ironically leave us with a sense of disappointment and disenchantment. Even, for instance, she says, when we find out what makes the light in a firefly. Now, you've been in the book of Revelation for the last 4 or 5 weeks, and one of the things that the book of Revelation does is it restores and highlights the never-fading wow factor of God's kingdom. Revelation shows us the different perspective of eternity, where we will be excited and engaged and enthralled forever. In fact, I believe that rediscovering this wow factor, the awe of the God of Revelation, can help us deal with the one thing that hasn't been discussed much in this series, and it is the one thing that Tyler asked me to address. How to deal with and persevere through the real problems of evil and suffering in this present world. You know what I'm talking about, the undeniable, unpleasant, almost unthinkable realities of suffering, pain, persecution, injustice, catastrophe, and evil that are presented so prominently in the book of Revelation. In fact, we are confronted with them in the opening chapter. I, John, this is verse 9, your brother and companion, in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. Now, you might be wondering about my suffering credentials. I don't claim to be an expert on suffering, but I've witnessed a lot of it. I have a son who is an Indianapolis police officer. I have a wife who works nights in the emergency room. I've been dealing with people in crises in ministry for 35 years. So I've been exposed to and I'm aware of the reality of evil and suffering. I mean, my daughter is married to Tyler McKenzie. I know what pain is. So here's my take on this as I've followed your Revelation series and have the privilege of wrapping it up today. You can endure. You can overcome. Whatever it is that you brought into this place today, you can overcome. You can endure. You can survive, and not only survive, you can thrive through the questions and the pain, and you can do this now. And it is the awe of the God of Revelation. It is the wow factor of Revelation that can help you do that, but you have to first start seeing the real wow now. And I want to give you 4 Revelation lenses, just very quickly, 4 Revelation worldviews that will help you face the harsh realities of life, help you face suffering and have perseverance. The first is the wow of the eternal over the temporary. You got to put this lens on. The wow of the eternal over the temporary, long-term versus short-term. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, therefore, we don't lose heart, even though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory that is beyond all comparison, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're putting on this lens, the wow of the eternal over the temporary. Jess Moody was a minister in Owensboro, Kentucky, and he became friends with a young couple in his church. And one day the young husband came to Moody's office. He's clearly distraught, and he said, Jess, we just got some awful news. My wife has terminal cancer. It's spread all over her body, and the doctor has told us she only has a few weeks, and she's at the hospital right now, and she's asking to see you. So Jess immediately went to the hospital, and there the young wife and mother got right to the point. She said, Jess, I remember in one of your sermons, you said 1,000 years is like a day to God, and a day is like 1,000 years. Is that really true? Is 1,000 years really like a day to God? And the preacher said, yes, it's true. It's in the Bible. And she said, good, because I've been doing the math, and if 1,000 years is like a day, then 40 years is like 1 hour. And when I leave my husband and children soon, my husband may live another 40 years, but that will be just like an hour to me in heaven. And when he gets to heaven, I'll greet him and say, where have you been for the last hour? Did you go to the office or run an errand? I've missed you. And my children may live another 70 or 80 years, but that'll be like 2 hours to me in heaven. And when they get to heaven, I'll greet them and say, how was school today? Mom misses you when you're gone for a couple hours. I wonder how you're doing, because moms don't like to be away from their children. And 2 weeks later, she went to be with the Lord. And her last words to her family, I'll see you in a few hours. It is the wow of the eternal over the temporary. Second lens is the wow of the heavenly over the earthly, the spiritual versus the physical. Paul told the Colossians to set their minds on things that are above, not on the things of this earth. You might remember about 10 years ago, the switch we made from analog to digital TV. And one of the reasons for this was to clear the airways for emergency responder frequencies and to increase public safety, because there was too much conflicting activity and confusion taking place on the common frequencies. Well, most of us are tuned into the world's frequency. We are very material and tactile in nature, and we believe in what we can see and hear and feel and touch, and we often function in ways that are oblivious to spiritual frequencies, where the still small voice of God or even the big booming voice of God can be heard. It was a balmy October afternoon, 1982, Badger Stadium, Madison, Wisconsin was packed out, and that day there were more than 60,000 diehard University of Wisconsin football fans watching their team take on the Michigan State Spartans. Didn't take long to determine which one was a better team that day, because Michigan State was mopping up the field with Wisconsin. But what seemed odd was, even as the score became increasingly lopsided against their team, there were bursts of applause and there were shouts of joy from the Wisconsin fans. I mean, how could they cheer like that when their team was getting trounced so decisively? Turns out that 70 miles away, the Milwaukee Brewers were beating the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 3 of the 1982 World Series, and most of the fans in the stand were listening to portable radios and responding to what was going on in another game, in another spot, in another place. What if we could look and listen to what's going on in another spot, in another place? What if we could put these revelation lenses on the wow of the heavenly over the earthly? See, when I start thinking out of this world, it can affect my actions. Since I know this world's not the end, and that God's kingdom, though it's present and manifest here, is also out of this world, it not only changes how I think, it changes how I feel, and it changes my ability to respond and to be proactive in this world. I can be disrespected now. I can take insults. I can release treasure. I can delay gratification. I can take setbacks. I can endure pain. I can see and do things differently. I can forego pleasures. I can give up rights. I can forgive people. I can set priorities. I can face sorrow. I can accept tragedy, even the enemy of death, because of the wow of the heavenly over the earthly. Third lens, the wow of presence over absence. The wow of presence over absence. Paul once wrote, we prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Now, it's kind of an obscure passage of scripture. Maybe you haven't noticed before, but in 2 Corinthians, there is a place where the Apostle Paul defends his credentials as an apostle, but he's trying to maintain humility at the same time and exercises authority. So when he speaks of himself in the third person. And he speaks of being caught up into what he called the third heaven, into paradise. And there he says, he saw and heard things that he was not allowed to describe. And even if he had been allowed to describe them, he wouldn't be able to adequately articulate them. And his experience there was so profound that he waited 14 years before he wrote about it. And even after that, he always carried with him the knowledge and the burden of that vision. I always think about that when I hear some televangelist authoritatively share details of an alleged heavenly vision they had in their hotel room the night before, that God wants you to help them buy a new jet or something like that. Paul was an inspired apostle. He was speaking of paradise, not of heaven itself, and he wasn't allowed, and even if he had been allowed, he wasn't able to describe the wonder of the sights and the sounds that he saw. And when we try to describe it, we can't do it justice or describe it because there's way too much wow factor. I mean, think about eternity. Think about the presence of Jesus, the joy of knowledge, the joy of discovery, of security, of well-being, of realization, of vindication, of contentment, the joy of fulfilled purpose and achieved potential and pure service and extreme worship and ultimate experience and sweet reunion and rich fellowship and total confidence and true life and wealth and reward and purest love and pristine holiness. Indescribable, breathtaking glory, flawless beauty, prevailing goodness, complete maturity, perfect peace, unfettered, unmarred, unlimited creativity, unquestionable justice and righteousness, knowing and being known, understanding and being understood. Wow! I mean, we will be amazed, astonished, incredulous, blown away, bowled over, speechless, utterly overwhelmed, taken, smitten, got, slack-jawed, incredible, mind-blowing, beyond earth-shattering. It won't just rock your world. It will be your world because Jesus is there. Wow. And when we can see the wow of presence over absence and the wow of the spiritual over the physical and the wow of the eternal over the temporary, it helps us persevere and face whatever we have to face in this life. One more lens. The wow of reward over pain. See, here's what I think, and obviously you can disagree with me if you want to, but I believe the book of Revelation is more about perseverance than it is predictions. It's more about the church than it is charts. It's more about spiritual convictions than secret codes. It's more about Christ than it is about chronology. It's more about character than it is about current events. It's more about the Alpha and the Omega than it is Antichrist and omens. It's more about pictures than pat answers. It's more about symbolism than sequence. It's more about hope than headlines. It's more about allegiance than Armageddon. It's more about personal conduct than about position. It's more about overcoming than over-sensationalizing. And it's more about faithful endurance than final explanations. It is about the wow of reward over pain. My friend, Dr. Gary Johnson, told me the story of a man working in a factory who lost one of his arms in an industrial accident, and he became deeply depressed because he was a gifted athlete. And after this happened, a good friend introduced him to the game of handball, and the one-hand man quickly took to the game, and he became so good at handball that he qualified for championship tournament, and not only did he qualify, but he won the championship. And afterwards, he was interviewed by a sports reporter who asked the obvious question. How did you win against someone nearly 10 years younger than you, and quite frankly, someone who has two hands? And the man replied, when I played the ball to my opponent, he had to take time to decide which hand he was going to use. But when he played the ball to me, my decision was already made. Revelation asks you to make your decision that you will persevere and that you will endure in response to the awe and the wonder and the wow of the God of Revelation. My dad called me the night before last, and he'd had a bone marrow biopsy, and he told me the night before last that he's been diagnosed with bone cancer, multiple myeloma. You know, my dad always told me that in heaven, we will all have flat foreheads. When we see God's entire plan, when we learn the truth about questions and spiritual realities, he says we'll constantly be smacking our own foreheads. And I don't think that I disagree, except I'm sure I won't be saying, why didn't I think of that? It'll be more like, I would have never thought of that. It's the wow factor. Got to see the real wow now. But to see the real wow now, you got to stop chasing the false wow now. Jesus told his generation that the Queen of Sheba traveled to the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and one greater than Solomon was in their midst. They were chasing the false wow. C.S. Lewis once said that Christians have settled into this world, and they would be positively irritated if Christ were to come back and take them out of it. He said, prosperity knits a man to the world. He feels he's finding his place in it, when really it is finding its place in him. Try reading the famous passage John wrote with that mindset. don't love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, it's from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. A friend of mine mentioned something to me the other day about a list he had seen of the top 10 most inopportune times for Jesus to return. You know, there's a few things you want to experience in life before Jesus returns, and so these are the top 10 most inopportune times for Jesus to return. Obviously, when you're involved in sinful activity, you don't want him coming back, so we're not going to put that on the list because that's a no-brainer. We all know that, but here are the answers he received. Number one, on your wedding night. Number two, halftime of Super Bowl. Number three, the day you win the lottery. Number four, the day before I graduate from college. Number five, just as everything in my life falls into place. Number six, right before the winner of American Idol is announced. Number seven, right before Black Friday sales take place. Number eight, while I'm taking a shower. Number nine, the day I received a promotion and a pay raise. And then his favorite, I hit a pure 5-iron off the tee from 180 yards out. It starts out to the right, starts moving back toward the pin with this beautiful line, lands just on the front edge of the green, and releases right toward the hole for my first ever hole in. Inopportune time for Jesus to come back. But we all know that there will come a day when God breaks the silence once for all with a triumphant sound. Now we live by faith, but then faith becomes sight. We're talking a face-to-face forever. No more silence. And the sound of worship and victory will fill the heavens for eternity. Maybe you saw the news article this week when Mexico's soccer team scored a goal against Germany. It actually registered a small earthquake on the seismic monitors in those areas. And for your information, that's not the first time that's happened. It's happened twice in Seattle with the Seattle Seahawks when Marshawn Lynch scored a touchdown. In fact, they've coined the term beast quake because it registers on the seismic monitors when all the crowd goes crazy. Of course, the truth is, no joy or accomplishment or event on earth can compare to the wonder of heaven. Revelation 5, in a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And after this I looked, and there was behind me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Now that is seismic stuff. Let's stop it with the false wow now and catch a glimpse of Revelation's King. See the real wow now. Stop the false wow now and finally show the world how to see the real wow now. Because the truth is, you know what we are as a church? We are a preview. We are a preview of the coming attraction. I hate it when I get excited about something. I try to share it with someone and they barely raise an eyebrow. You know, they don't get it. They don't feel it. They have no wow factor. And I can guarantee you, you'll face this challenge when you try to see and be a preview of this coming attraction. But it can be done, because Scripture says we're an aroma of life. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. There's already a sense of otherworldly about us. We're citizens of heaven. We're spiritually seated with Christ in heavenly places. We have tasted of the heavenly gift. Our minds are set on things that are above. We've been raised with Christ and enrolled in heaven. And we live differently and think differently and respond differently and die differently and grieve differently, and the experiences that we have and the explanations that we know and the emotions that we feel, rather than detracting from our sense of wonder and the wow factor, add to it. Wow. See, the church is a preview of the coming attraction. It's kingdom now and kingdom later. It's here and there, his will on earth as it is in heaven. And don't ever fall prey to the thinking that minimizes either aspect of our heavenly citizenship. That's why I love what you've been doing here so much. This week, you filled a truck and a trailer and two SUVs with donated food. You packed 20,000 meals, and then you had the Clifton Blitz. Love the Ville is showing the world the real wow now as eternity approaches. And your preacher, Tyler, he's going to the North American Christian Convention in Indianapolis this week to share this with other churches so that Love the Ville type activities happen in other villes and other towns and other cities and other regions. You are affecting your world right now as citizens of heaven, seeking to live extraordinary lives. You're living for Christ and reflecting His awe now. And it's not time to give up. It's not time to back off. It's not time to cower in fear. It's not time to lie down and die. It's not time for a concession speech. It's not time to fold. It's not time to head for the hills or hunker in the bunker. It's not time to hesitate or lie low. It's not time to be silent. It's not time to acquiesce or accommodate or compromise and capitulate. It's not time to dilute or water down or surrender. It's not time for retreat. It's not time to go into hiding. It's not time for the white flag. It is time for the kingdom banner to fly high, because the biggest wow that you can ever imagine is coming soon. And I want you to hear Max Lucado's attempt to describe that. You are in your car driving home, and your thoughts wander to the game that you want to see or the meal that you want to eat, and suddenly a sound unlike anything you have ever heard fills the air. The sound is high above you. A trumpet, a choir of trumpets, you don't know, but you want to know. So you pull over and you get out of your car and you look up. And as you do, you see that you are not the only curious one, because the roadside has become a parking lot. Car doors are open and people are staring at the sky, and shoppers are racing out of the grocery store, and the Little League baseball game across the street has come to a halt, and players and parents are searching the clouds. And what they see and what you see has never been seen before. As if the sky were a curtain, the drapes of the atmosphere part and a brilliant light spills onto the earth. There are no shadows, none. And from whence came the light begins to tumble a river of color, spiking crystals of every hue ever seen and a million more never seen. Riding on the flow is an endless fleet of angels, and they pass through the curtains one myriad at a time until they occupy every square inch of the sky, north and south and east and west. Thousands of silvery wings rise and fall in unison, and over the sound of the trumpets you can hear the cherubim and the seraphim chanting, "Holy, holy, holy." And the final flank of angels is followed by 24 silver bearded elders and a multitude of souls who join the angels in worship. And presently the movement stops, and the trumpets are silent, leaving only the triumphant triplet. Holy, holy, holy. And between each word is a pause, and with each word, a profound reverence. And you hear your own voice join in the chorus, and you don't know why you say the words, but you know you must. And suddenly the heavens are quiet. All is quiet. The angels turn. You turn. The entire world turns. And there he is, Jesus. And through waves of light, you see the silhouetted figure of Christ the King. He's atop a great stallion. And the stallion is atop a billowing cloud, and he opens his mouth, and you are surrounded by his declaration, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And the angels bow their heads, and the elders remove their crowns. And before you is a figure so consuming that you know, instantly you know, nothing else matters. Forget the stock markets and the school reports and the sales meetings and the football games. Nothing is newsworthy. All that mattered matters no more, for Jesus Christ has come. Would you help me put an exclamation point on this Revelation series? We're going to go to the last verse of the last chapter of Revelation, and I'd like to ask you to speak it aloud with me. Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. Let's read together. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.' The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Bow with me before the God Revelation. Father, show us your wonder. Show us your awe. Lord, help us to see the real wow now. Help us stop chasing the false stuff. And may our response to you speak to our entire world so that they can catch a glimpse of you right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Can we thank Jeff for being here? That was so much cooler than a tidal wave. But it's so neat to get to hear the daughter play and sing and then the dad preach. Special warning. We are so glad you're with us today. If you're visiting and have any questions, we would just like to get to know you. If you would stop by the middle of our lobby out there, we will also let you know about any upcoming events that are going on. We're so glad you were here. We hope you have a great week. See you next week. Open your eyes.